العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس الغنى عن كثرة العرض ولكن الغنى غنى النفس أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us such a beautiful opportunity yet again, the opportunity of witnessing a Jumu'ah in the month of Ramadan. So this indeed is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. How many people we know that were here previous Ramadan, and they are not here this Ramadan. So not only is Allah Pak allowing us to see this beautiful month, but a beautiful day in this beautiful month. So we should be very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us many, many more opportunities of witnessing the great days, the great months. These opportunities that are given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are actually chosen and selected. Because it doesn't come to any person just like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving it from His side. So therefore we should take it. Like the poet so beautifully says, he says that these opportunities that are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they are there, grab at it. Because these opportunities are far and few between. They are few and far between, they don't always come. So when they do come, then grab and take advantage of it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees this person taking advantage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His side, He grants more opportunities. Anyway, this month that we are witnessing the month of Ramadan, the ayat of Allah, I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَكُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And we hear this ayat and we hear the translation all the time, that fasting has been prescribed for you, O believers, fasting has been prescribed for you, like it was prescribed for those before you. And the reason this is mentioned, like it was prescribed for those before you, to show us that this is not something difficult. If it was difficult, the people in the past would have battled. They've managed it, they did it, so now you have to do it. It's nothing major. So this is one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may build in yourself, you may create in yourself, you may build this ability to take care, to take control, to be in charge. In other words, to take control of the reins. It should never be such that you lose control of yourself. And our ulama mentioned that in this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly is the architect. Like you get a beautiful structure and a good architect, everything that he does in that structure is for a purpose. Why he put the main entrance here, why he put the bathroom here, why he put the toilet there, or if it is a masjid, why did he have the wuzu khana in a certain place, why did he have the toilet in a certain place, why the mihrab is in a certain place, why the stairs are in a certain place, why the parking is there in a certain place. All these things are thought about in a good structure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has structured this year for us and has brought the month of Ramadan and has brought the elements within the month of Ramadan, the elements of fasting, the elements of taraweeh, the elements of a person engaging more in zikr and making more dua, etc. All this is done for a specific reason. So ulama explained that a person, insan, he has two strengths and these two strengths can be weaknesses also. If these two strengths are not controlled, it becomes a very big weakness in a person. And these two are known as quwwat-e-ghadabiyya and quwwat-e-shahwiyya. Quwwat-e-ghadabiyya means a person has anger in himself. So this month of Ramadan comes and these opportunities come so that a person can control that anger he has in himself. And a person controlling this anger not only helps him as far as his deen is concerned, it will also help him as far as his dunya is concerned. As far as his worldly activities are concerned, it will help the person create more composure. Why? He's got full control of his anger. So one of the benefits of a person going through the month of Ramadan as it ought to go, is a person gets control of his anger. Now anybody wants to fight with him, anybody wants to argue with him, in this month of Ramadan, he says, Inni Sahim, I am fasting. I don't want to engage and I don't want to get involved in any type of disputes. So automatically he's building and he's inculcating himself the ability to control. And a person who doesn't have control of his anger, every small thing will upset him. He's driving on the road, somebody will just cut in front of him, somebody will forget to indicate, automatically this person is getting upset. Road rage is building in this person and he's getting so upset. But an intelligent person, like one poet so beautifully mentioned, and this thought process that is mentioned in this couplet is something that we should apply all the time in different aspects of our life. He says, أمر على اللئيم يسبني فمضيت ثمه قلت لا يعنيني. That I pass by a lowly person, a person who doesn't have much moral values, and I find that this person is swearing at me. It happens sometimes, you maybe just take a wrong turn, somebody is upset that you cut in front of him, and this person starts swearing. So the poet is saying that I pass by such a person who swears and use vulgar language and foul language. فَمَضَيْتُ ثَمَّهُ قُلْتُ لَا يَعْنِينِ. All I do is I just move away from there. I don't get entangled, I don't get embroiled in that whatever is being said. I just move away from there. قُلْتُ لَا يَعْنِينِ. I say to myself, he wasn't swearing me, he was swearing somebody else. So now this heart also remains clean, the mind remains clean, that anger is not there in the body. As the Mawlana Hashim Ali Thani Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that Allah Pak has made this heart a markas of tajalli, has made this heart a center of nur descending from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment we start spoiling this heart with anger, with envy, with jealousy, with hatred, with all types of greed and malice, then we start tainting this heart. Now that tajalli that is supposed to come down, that nur that is supposed to come down, automatically that is getting blocked. It can't come into this heart. So therefore this heart has to be cleaned. So one benefit of this month of Ramadan is that a person now is getting control of that ghadabiyya, that anger that is in a person naturally. And a person who has control, he has a lot of composure. A person who doesn't have control of this anger, he may be one person in a whole jamaat, in a whole group, say a group of people going for Hajj, one person doesn't heckle for the whole group. Anything will upset him and he'll get upset. He'll start screaming, he'll start shouting, he'll start complaining, and it becomes difficult for every person. But yet you have one person with composure, calmness, coolness. He will spread that coolness, that calmness and that composure to every person that is present in that group. There was recently a situation, an incident, where an 80-year-old person, he lost himself. Now he's not only a grandfather, but he's a great-grandfather. So you can imagine how people in the family look up to him. There's a great-grandfather and a great-grandmother. The whole family look up to these people, have respect, especially when it comes to days of Eid, like we're coming to great events. People always look up to seniors in the family. But for a few moments, this person lost himself. He lost control of himself. He lost control of his anger. And he had given his wife 3 talaqs. Can you imagine that one home now, where the great-grandmother now is separated from the great-grandfather? What pain it caused to the whole family. But what happened? It was just a few minutes of anger, uncontrolled, unbridled anger. So one of the benefits of bringing taqwa, one of the benefits of going through the month of Ramadan, as we ought to go through the month of Ramadan, is to bring control over this anger that insan has got naturally in him. And a person who brings control, he has this composure which every person needs as far as spiritual progress is concerned. Often we think and we remind ourselves and we think that the month of Ramadan is there, fasting is there, so that we may empathize, we may be thinking about the poor people that don't have food. But it's more than just thinking about the poor people that don't have food. It is also about inculcating spiritual values in ourselves. And one of these values is this control of anger. The next thing that the ulama speak that is very, very important is this quwwat al-shahwiyah, this temptations and this desire. When a person has got control over his temptations and that desire for instant gratification, I want something and I want it now. Sometimes a person maybe just landed, for example, in a Dubai airport, and now he's walking through and he sees this thing and he sees that thing. But a person who doesn't have controls over temptations, immediately he'll fall prey. And this is what the West know and what the people of the dunya know, that this is the weakness of insan. That he falls prey very, very easily to these type of things, that the moment there's some type of temptation, immediately this person wants it. How often you hear of people, one person I know, that he's got maybe about 10 cars, and all exotic cars, and all are financed through the bank. It's not that he can afford it, but he says also that this is my weakness, I like cars, and I like exotic cars, what must I do? Every time I see some new car, I want to buy that car. So this is what temptation is. Instantly a person wants it and he wants it immediately. So this is the time that we are living in. Everything becomes appealing. A man goes to a supermarket to buy 3 or 4 items. As he's walking through the till now, he'll see few other aisles that are placed specifically to tempt a man as far as his weakness, as far as temptations are concerned. And these things attract him. And very often these temptations also are haram temptations. A man can't afford a certain property, but because he's tempted by that property, he sees it, he falls in love with it immediately. He doesn't have control, so he loses himself and he buys it, he doesn't have money. Later on he finds out, or later on he realizes that he can't afford the repayments. So similarly with the credit card, a man who doesn't have control over his temptation, he just buys and buys, and later he finds that, you know, there's so much of difficulty in repaying. So one of the other benefits of this month of Ramadan is we are told and we are taught that control this temptation. You may be walking alongside the river, it is a hot day, very hot day, but a person is fasting, there's plenty of water, the water won't get any short if you have a little bit of water. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that desire to have that halal also, you are refraining from. So how much more you should refrain from those things that are haram. So there's some internal process that is taking place, and that is controlling ourselves from temptations. There's an incident of one fisherman. You know, you'll find in the Middle East, in the Asian countries, you'll find in the third world countries, that generally the police have given much more authority than we'll find in our country. So sometimes you'll see them walking with a shambok, sometimes you'll see them walking with a baton, and anybody does anything wrong, immediately they'll give it to them. They'll give it to them and they'll sort it out. There's no going to the courts, and there's no taking the matter up, because now there's so many people, there's so much of discipline that needs to take place, so immediately they do it. So there was an incident where one person went fishing. There was a person that went fishing and he caught a very big fish. You know what fishermen, when you say very big fish, you don't know how big it is. Anyway, he caught a very big fish. So this person, this was his livelihood, that he would catch fish, and some portion of the fish he would take for his family, and some portion of the fish he would sell so that he could make some money. So there was a police that was there at the seashore, and this police saw him pulling out this big fish. And he realized that this was a very nice fish. So what he did was, he went and he took that fish away from this person and told him that this fish is illegal. You're not allowed to fish this type of fish. So that person, he was begging him. This I'm telling you what temptation does. That you forget who you are, you forget what your responsibilities are, you forget what your position is, but that temptation that I must get it, and I must get it now, whatever I wanted, I must get it right now. So this police had taken this person begged for it. He said, this is my livelihood. I got no other form of livelihood. So the police had given him a few shots and maybe gave him 5 rand and said, take this and go. Whereas that fish was worth few hundred rands. So now that police takes it home. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. And this is something that we also need to learn. That don't ever abuse authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given different people different types of authority. Some people have got financial authority. Other people have got physical strength. Other people have given position as far as their position in the business is concerned. They may be the manager, they got people under them. Somebody might be the boss, employer, somebody might be the employee. So different people have got different positions. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like is when a person abuses his position. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like at all. A person may be the head of the house and he can be harming the people in his own home. So different times a person may abuse. He may be the police and he may be abusing people. So this particular police had taken the fish and he had taken it for himself. How often we find that somebody's car gets impounded for some reason, and next thing before you know it, in the pound the whole car is stripped. The whole thing is stripped. Somebody had abused a position they had been given of amanat and trust, and they had caused some type of damage. Anyway, this police had taken it home. And now he was cleaning that fish. He got so excited that I got it. I had taken it away. And whilst cleaning that fish, one scale had cut his baby finger. Whilst he was cleaning it, scale or fin or thorn, whatever it may have been, but it cut him quite badly. So now he stopped and he attended to it, and he managed to stop the blood from bleeding. And then he carried on cleaning it. And anyway, he ate the fish. Later that night, that pain was unbearable. Unbearable that pain was in his finger. So he goes the next day to the doctor, and the doctor looks at this thing and tells him, you know what, this has gone septic. It's gone very bad. It's actually gangrene has built up in his finger. We have to amputate this finger. So he had no choice. He had to amputate the finger. But this thing was constantly spreading. It now went on to the next finger, and it went on to the next finger. So this particular police, perhaps he had done something good in his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired him that nothing like this happens for no reason. You had taken that fish from this person. You had abused that power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You had acted on that temptation that overpowered you. You should go back to this person recompense him for what you have done, and you should ask for maaf. So anyway, this police, after having 3 fingers amputated, now he goes back, he finds that person, he pays him for that fish, and he asks for forgiveness. And then at that instance now, that sickness or that infection stops spreading. So this is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. So this is the month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Time has expired. But this is the point that we have to take. Is in this month of Ramadan, let us try and control that anger we have got in us. Let us try and control that desire to have everything. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that hadith which I read in the khutbah, that a rich person is not a person who has a lot of wealth, who has a lot of assets, who has a lot of amenities and commodities. A rich person is that person whose heart is independent from all these things. His heart is independent. He may see all these things that tempt him, but he's not tempted to these things at all. He is a rich person. Why? Because a rich person may have all his commodities, but his heart is still desiring the next thing and desiring the next thing. So in other words, his heart is a pauper. His heart is still desiring everything else. Where the poor person, his heart doesn't desire anything. His heart is a rich heart. This person has really a rich heart, which is independent from all these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. The last few days of Ramadan are coming. The last 10 days of Ramadan are coming. Let us spend these days correctly. It should never ever be such that we waste our time in following sports, waste our time in watching television, waste our time in unnecessary social activities. If we want to have any dawahs, any prize, any type of entertainment, let us try and leave it for after Ramadan. These last few days of Ramadan are very, very special. They are very blessed. They are very important. And fortunate is that person that takes advantage of these days. Allah pak give us tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.